In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Spouse of the Holy Spirit, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me be the first to wish you all a blessed Easter as we begin with this liturgy, the celebration of the Easter season, this great, especially this great vigil of Easter vigil, which is really the vigil of all vigils, as they say, because it celebrates that night when our Lord shattered the bonds of death, when he rose from the dead, gloriously triumphant. Because in rising from the dead, he also conquered sin, because death is the result of sin. So our Lord rising from the dead shows that he also conquered what is the cause of death, which is sin. And so this is why we rejoice, and the church puts out all of its efforts in celebrating, because really there would be no reason to celebrate had our Lord not risen from the dead. We would still be in our sins. Even St. Paul reminds us, he said, if they find the bones of Jesus, you know, your faith is worthless, but they're never going to find his bones, because our Lord is not in the tomb. And that is the great news, the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good Friday is followed by Easter Sunday, and because of that we have hope, because Good Friday was not the final word. Sin did not conquer. The devil did not succeed, because our Lord rose from the dead. And this, the you might say, our Lord had the last laugh on the devil. And rising from the dead, he has truly given us all hope to know that, you know, we can continue to work and to strive to practice virtue, to overcome our vices and our sins, because he has conquered and he has given us the means to get to heaven through his church. You know, Pope Benedict proclaimed this last year, from October of last year into November of this year, a year of faith, in which we're to call to mind the gift of faith that we have all received. Most of us received that gift of faith as an infant when we were baptized. Others may have received that gift of faith as an adult when they accepted baptism as an adult. But whatever way we entered in, we all entered into these mysteries that we celebrate tonight, the mysteries of our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection, and his new life that he won for us. We all entered in through it through the door of baptism. And that's why this evening we're going to renew our baptismal promises. You know, we didn't have an opportunity, maybe when, as an infant, of course, we didn't have an opportunity to say those words of, you know, I do. But now, and since baptism, and hopefully throughout your life, you are renewing your baptismal promises by the choices you make, by the acts of faith you make, by the acts of hope that you make, and by the acts of charity that you put into practice. You know, God gives us the gift of faith, but it must be, it only will increase with our cooperation. It isn't going to increase if we just sit back and do nothing. Matter of fact, if you sit back and do nothing, you may lose the gift of faith. Because faith, in many cases, unlike all the supernatural, the theological virtues, you increase, you can never have enough of them. And the way, one of the ways you increase in them is by, first and foremost, living in the state of grace and making use of the sacraments, and then by your personal choices, by making an act of the will to believe when you find it difficult, to hope when you find it that things may seem hopeless, and to love when you find it difficult to love. to love as God loves. You know, love has been given kind of a dirty name because love, in many cases, is not love in our world today. It's sentiment. And love is much more than a sentiment. It's an act of the will. It's a choice to do the good, to love the good. And many times you may not have a good feeling about that because it may ask us to be on the cross with our Lord. It may ask us to suffer for him. And that's what the writer of the epistle is reminding us. Did you not know that when you were baptized into the death of Christ? That we are called to make that same kind of sacrifice, possibly, because we may be called upon to give witness to this faith that we have received. You know, just recently, you know, this student in a university in Florida was asked to stomp on the name of Jesus. The professor wanted him to write it on a piece of paper and stomp on it, and he refused to do it. So he was kicked out of class. You know, it's not like just the times of the Romans that we're told to, you know, just denounce God and you'll be just, you know, hunky-dory. Everything will go well if you just deny your faith. And so many Catholics today have denied their faith by choosing their political party's positions instead of their Catholic faith. And this is why our Holy Father has called for a year of faith, because we need to renew, to go back to the roots. Our faith is a dogmatic faith. It is based on the teachings of Christ, and we make an assent to them. And what the church teaches is not the church of a bunch of old men in the first century AD. It's the teaching of Christ himself. What he has handed on to them, they have handed on to us. And we must believe that. It is a fact. But Peter has taught, and through every successive ages of the church, the teaching of the church is the teaching of Christ. And that is what we are making an assent to. When we say the baptismal promises today, they are an oath. You know, many of us have made an oath before. You know, we maybe have been in court of law and we've been asked, do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? And you say, I do. There's another place that you took an oath if you were married. They said, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? And you said, I do. You are making an oath before God. And tonight we're going to be once again renewing our faith and our baptismal promises. Do you reject Satan? And we say, I do. At least we hope we say we do, and we hope that we will do that. But it's with God's help and with his grace that we are able to do that, and we must do that. Because if we don't, you know, we will not see Christ at the end of our life. We will see the other one who said, I don't. You know, Christ was always, I will do the will of my Heavenly Father. Our Lady was, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, I come to do your will. The one who said, I will not, or I don't, or I do not serve, is the devil himself. And we know where he is, and those who refuse to serve God. But tonight, we celebrate this great victory of Christ over death and over sin. And tonight, we also will renew our baptismal promises that we too, with God's help, with his grace, that we will reject sin, that we will reject all the lies, but at the same time, there's something that we also will say, I do too, that is positive, that we believe that everything that Christ has said and taught as revealed to us through his church is the truth that is necessary for our salvation. And that means we must accept all the teaching of the church. It's not a line item thing where you can veto whatever you don't like or accept. It's not multiple choice. It's everything. And to deny one article of the faith is to deny the whole faith. That's why when we have these politicians who say, well, I'm a Catholic, but I believe in abortion, or it's okay, or the promoting of same-sex marriages. We had right now, this is the whole readings tonight were a teaching, a catechesis. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Male and female, he made them. Already man and woman are a natural sign. And then God went and elevated marriage to a sacrament to reflect not just the love of a man and a woman, but now the love of Christ and the fidelity of Christ for his church and his bride, the church for her head, Christ. And all this teaching, all these Old Testament readings that we were having tonight are to remind us of this old saying of St. Augustine, the old lies, the new lies hidden in the old, and the old is fulfilled in the new. That the Old Testament, you can see in it very clearly, Christ being prefigured, the church being prefigured in the Old Testament, because God was preparing the Jews by prophecy, by types, by giving them prefigurements in different ways. David is a type of Christ. Judith is a type of Our Lady. And the church is Israel. It's an old saying, the fathers of the church say, if you know the first three chapters of Genesis, you know all of human history. And if you only know one verse of the first three chapters, you know all of human history. And that verse is Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and yours. You shall strike at her heel, and she shall crush your head. That's all that human history is a battle between the light and the darkness, between good and evil, between Christ and his church against the devil and his anti-church. That's being played out today in our very time in which we live. It's so clear that you have to make a choice. Do I say I do for Christ, or do I say I do for Obama, or whoever else he may be that is opposing Christ? Whoever is not with Christ is against him. And so even sometimes we have been that, because we have chosen at times to sin. And so thanks be to God, God has given us the sacraments, and especially the sacrament of penance, to once again renew our commitment and our resolve to follow Christ. We may stumble and fall, but thanks be to God, we can rise again. And we might say there's little resurrections that take place every time a sinner goes to confession. And if they're in mortal sin, they rise from the dead spiritually. And that is a greater miracle than if someone should rise physically from the dead. So many times our Lord reminded his listeners, he said, to know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, you know, rise, take up your mat and walk. Or when he said and proved that he raised Lazarus from the dead, and when he rose himself under his own power from the dead, that he has the ability to put down his life and to take it up again. And so tonight, as we celebrate our Lord's victory and his triumph over the grave and over sin, we too want to ask him, as we renew our baptismal promises, that that victory of our Lord will be made manifest, that we will be one of those victories that he will have, that he will be our Lord and Master, and that we will truly be entering into heaven on the day that he calls us. We know that we are all passing through this life, and as much as we may like this world, it is passing away. This is only a temporary spot. This is only a jumping off point. We're either going to jump off and go high, or we're going to jump off and go low. But this is where we jump off, and we want to prepare and make sure that we're ready, that when we jump, we go in the right direction. And that is why it's so important that the gift of faith that we have received is the direction. It's the light in the darkness. As we walked into this church this evening, we could see very clearly that the light that we had in our hands was the light that shows us the way. Christ is the light. He is the fire. He is the living water that we're going to bless here. So many of the things, that the Paschal candle, the pillar of fire shining in the night, leading the Israelites through the darkness. So many of these things tonight speak of Christ and his victory, and as well as his how much we need him in order to get where we need to be at the end of our lives. Let us ask Our Lady tonight, as she who maintained the faith and belief in the resurrection when everybody else waned or did not believe or lost hope, Our Lady was the faith of the church on that first Holy Saturday. She didn't go to the tomb, she stayed at home. And Christ came to her and reported to her that he had overcome sin and death, that he rose from the dead. Let us ask Our Lady that we will have that kind of solid faith that she had in the words of her Son. As Scripture says about Our Lady, blessed is she who believed that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled. Our Lord has said the same kind of promises to us as well, that if we are faithful to him, he will be faithful to us, and he will bring us to heaven with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.